everyone. In the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus.
Is this thing on? Yeah, it's on. I was just thinking about how the apostles always pointed back to Jesus. It was the name of Jesus that gave them the power that they had. And I want to greet you with that powerful name this morning, that wonderful name, the name that is above all names. You know, this message that God laid on my heart came from my morning rituals that I usually do in the morning when I wake up. Before I get into that, though, I want to thank you, all you guys, for praying for Jonathan and Alice. You know, they had such struggle with staff and with being able to function together without conflict. And so we were praying, and Johnny was praying, and Alice was praying that God would send somebody there that could just really pick up the loose ends and to help the communication issue and to accomplish much efficiently. And here comes this young lady from college involved in Crusade for Christ. And she said she'd like to work there. And Jonathan called some of her previous employers and asked them, what kind of a girl is she? They said, well, she's so wonderful, you don't have to even interview her. Just forget the interviewer and hire her. And Jonathan said, that's exactly what happened. He said, we just said, you're hired. And he said, she's been a breath of fresh air. Things are getting done. There's no conflict with her. And she's just very efficient and just flowing with Christ and with serving and just has a beautiful spirit and has changed so much. So thank you for praying. God answered our prayer. He sent somebody to fill that need. Praise the Lord. But getting into my message, you know, every morning, how many of you have a ritual sometimes you go through in the morning trying to start the day? And, you know, for me, I get up, walk over to the coffee grinder, hit the grinder, and get the coffee ready. And before that, I start singing, because through the night, sometimes I struggle with anxious thoughts about the next day. Do any of you ever have that, and you lay there awake? That's me sometimes. And so sometimes, just to get myself going, I start singing this little thing, and as I sing it, the anxiety goes away. It's, I trust God for my tomorrow. Gonna serve the Lord today. I'm gonna walk upright, stay in the light. For me there ain't no other way. Wake up in the morning, sun is shining bright. Gonna serve the Lord today. I trust God for my tomorrow. I'm gonna serve the Lord today. I'm gonna serve the Lord today. You know, as I sing that, I'm choosing, I'm making a choice to serve the Lord and trust Him for today and tomorrow. Well, what reaffirms that, I pour the cup of coffee, and my wife and I, we love this time together. We have so much fun doing this together. And I pour her a cup, and we go into the living room, and there, to confirm just what I sang, on my mantelpiece says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know we've heard that verse many times, but every morning as I get older, that verse just hits me so hard. Lord, I choose to serve you today with all my heart. And, you know, as I think about that, and I think about making choices, and I was thinking about a message, and God just kept bringing it back to me. And the message he gave me was, choose life. Today, I'm choosing life. You know, there's a poem written by Robert Frost about the two roads. How many of you know that little poem? Quite interesting. I'll look at my phone here, and I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to end with it, just because it drives home the point of the message that God gave me. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then I'm just going to skip down. And I'll read the whole thing. But he ends the last little paragraph of that poem by saying this: I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And then this last phrase really is so true. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, I know Robert Frost wasn't thinking of a lot of real spiritual things when he wrote this, but that last paragraph is so true, where he says, I took the one less traveled, and it made all the difference. So what path are you taking today? What choice have you made? You know, Joshua, when he said that scripture found in chapter 24, verse 15, he said, at the beginning of the chapter, he called together all the people, and that's when he gave this powerful message, but he said a whole bunch of other things. And one of the verses that he said really struck me. It was a powerful verse. It said in verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You don't hear that word often in Scripture about serving the Lord with sincerity. And I looked at a bunch of other verses, and most of the verses that where they use that scripture was in New Testament, but not in Old Testament. So I just find that interesting that he said also before that, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, if you follow me and obey my word and the word of God dwells in you day and night, you will be a success. So there is another word that you don't see much. In fact, I went to my concordance, and the only scripture that was given was the one in Joshua using the word success. But Joshua used some words that, for me, they are powerful to me. Knowing, being sincere, and allowing the word of God to dwell on you much. It's going to make you a success. And I don't think it means so much materially, but successful in the choice that you have made to follow the Lord. So the message I'd like to share with you today is choose life in Jesus. Moses said, David said in Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judges, thy judgment have I laid before me. Psalm 119:30. Psalm 119:170-173 says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts or thy word, you could put there. You know, it's interesting when you read Psalm 119, every verse refers in Psalm 119 to something about God's word. Every verse. Precept, judgments, testimonies of the Lord. And then Psalm 119, in that, I forgot to write the verse down, but it says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Let your word help me. I love Psalm 119:173, where it says, where David makes the choice of the word of God, but he said, let your hand help me. Because there's times we choose and we can't follow through with our choices. But we have the Lord's hand to help us follow through with those choices. In our own strength, there's often times we cannot make a follow through with the choices we make. It's by the hand of the Lord and the power of his Spirit. So the key phrase in this whole message that I want you to remember, I have chosen, I have chosen. And that's what Joshua said, choose ye this day. I'm reminded of that every morning when I'm sipping my coffee. Choose ye this day. I trust God for my tomorrow. Going to serve the Lord today. You know, there are some choices that need to be made in our lives when we find ourselves failing, not able to follow through, when we find ourselves giving in to sin. We have choices that we can make that'll get us back on the road. In James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I have chosen to confess my faults because I want healing. I want to experience Jesus and his, I want life flowing from me. And the amazing thing is the life comes to a sputtering stop often when we allow sin to come in. Choose to confess your sins to God, as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we know this verse very well, but you know, we need to choose to do that, humble ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, as I was studying for this, there's a lot of poisonous snakes, and snakes usually really scare us, don't they? Ask my wife. I know she hates snakes, and most ladies hate snakes, and they scream when they see them, and I don't like them either. They make me feel squirmy. But you know, the deadliest venom doesn't come from a snake. And I was reading about a little red and black frog this week that it's from the country of Colombia, and its poison is so lethal that just 1,000... Well, let me read it here. It's called, before I get into that, it's called the cookie frog. And 1/100,000th of a gram of the frog's venom is enough to kill a full-grown man. Most people are afraid of snakes, never even thinking about a frog. Like the cookie frogs, venom the smallest of sin, like the cookie frog's venom, the smallest of sins can almost always and will lead to bigger sins if we let them go and we don't do what 1 John 1:9 speaks to us about, and also from Galatians or James chapter 5, confessing our sins one to another and before God. Too often, such sins as a little white lie, we often call them, and I don't know if there is such a thing, but we often call them that. And not being quite honest on cheating your neighbor a bit, just a bit, not just little, just they're just, we usually just consider them small sins. But ever since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, human nature has been such that it is easy to allow sin to rule in our lives. It's because we dwell in this clay, this flesh, and because of that, that's constantly pulling at us. And it's as we choose and allow the power of God and His Holy Spirit, and as we confess our sins and allow His blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we sang that song this morning, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" There's power in the blood of Jesus, and it's through His blood that we can follow through in our choices that we make. He gives us power to overcome. But so it's so easy to allow sin to rule our in our lives. Sin causes us to want to live our own way rather than God's way. Sin cuts us off from God. When we do fall into sin, we need to always ask God, forgive us, as David did when he was, God's truth spoke to him. As all sins need to be acknowledged before Him, this will lead the way to true repentance. Jesus died for all mankind. Now the benefits of that death, salvation, and restored fellowship with God are available to all who respond to Him in faith. Choose to follow God's plan for your life. And it's usually the path that is not traveled much. Most people say it's too hard. Yes, it is hard without the hand of God. As David said, "I will follow you, God, with all my heart, but I need your hand to help me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. So we began our message this morning about Joshua calling all the people together and then giving this message. And not long after that, he died. And I kind of feel almost like Joshua this morning. I'm an older man, older brother, but I'm calling to you all this morning, just as Joshua called to all the people and gave the message not long before he died. And, you know, I don't know when God will call me. Maybe I'll live another 5, maybe another 10. I don't know that. But I want to, while I have breath, give this message to you to choose life, choose Jesus, and allow His blood to cleanse you from your sins, and don't let them ride, don't let them go and build up and pull you away until your heart becomes hard and cold. Moses did the same thing. He stood in the gate of the camp, Exodus 32:26, and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And the ones that responded and came to him were Levites, because they were always administering the word of God. So it was, they responded first, and all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. It doesn't say that a lot of the other people came to him. And then Moses goes on to say, In Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that have set before me, before you, life and death. I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants. Choose life, Moses said, so that not only you can experience life, but your descendants following you. You have created a path, and many times they are turned, their hearts are turned because your heart has been turned to life. Choose life today in Jesus Christ. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Again, Elijah, an older man, calling a man who's gone through a lot, calling people to make the decision that he has made. Choose life and not. And Baal to me is the world. Don't choose the world, but choose life. Choose God. Don't choose death. Usually what the world has to offer is it always ends in destruction. Pleasures of sin for a season, but gone fast, especially when you die. You will not be able to enjoy the joy forevermore for those who choose life today. Choose today to say no to the devil's lies and about your life, and choose God, God's truth about you and others. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, says, it lists four things that we need to reject and renounce as believers. Corinthians 4:2 says, let me read it to you. Let me turn to it. I was just going to quote it by memory, but I don't trust it in my memory this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So as you look at that word, there's four things that Satan uses to trip us up and to draw us away from the choice that we've made to follow Christ. The first thing we see is secrecy. Living life in secrecy. Second thing we see is living life with our hearts full of shame of the things that we are doing. And then the third thing is deception. And the fourth thing is distortion of scriptures. You know, it's interesting, as I was looking at this scripture and thinking about recently how I was talking with someone about strongholds, and the third thing that I told you about deception, and I just want to say this about deception and why you need to renounce it. Because deception is the glue that holds every stronghold together. Think about it. Deception is the glue that holds every stronghold together. There is a concept that we must embrace so that that doesn't happen. We must come to the realization nothing is bigger or more powerful than God. Therefore, anything other than Jesus Christ mastering the Christian's life can keep its grip only through pretension and deception. Remember, Satan is the father of lies, as it says in John 8:44. No truth is in him. However, his specialty is twisting a lie until it seems true. The list of lies we often believe when we are held in a stronghold can be unlimited. And so deception, unless we renounce that in our lives, because Paul says that we need to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and craftiness, which is a deception, and handling the Word of God or talking about the Word of God deceitfully. The lies of deception, living in secrecy, living in shame, it's like we live in defeat every day. As you consider each one of these four things I shared with you, you can readily imagine how deception permeates all four of those things: secrecy, shame, deception, distortion of Scripture, and how interrelated they are. Satan's plans toward the believer are always the antithesis of God's plan. Our Redeemer wants to loose us from the closets of secrecy. You know, God has so much to offer, and so often we think if we can just live in secret with these things that we do that bring shame to our hearts, we think if we can not let anybody know that we'll be okay, when you're just in a little closet. And God has a big, spacious room waiting for you to live in, not a little closet. I used to live in secrecy. It's a horrible way to live. Guilt, shame, miserable. You know, now I understand why David talked about to God about taking him to a large place. Because do you know that David for quite a while lived in the closet of secrecy? He lied, he lusted, he murdered, he committed adultery. He did it all. And he didn't want anyone to know, because he was this great king of Israel. And so often that's the way we are. We want that all to stay hidden, because we are supposed to be this big, people look up to us. And so we live in what we think is the best, secrecy. No one has to know. And we live in this little closet, and we're just confined to that little space. It's a horrible way to live. I testify of that. Until God got a hold of my life one day, years ago, and said, you don't have to live this way. David says in Psalm 18, let me see if I can find it. He says it very well. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God doesn't, he delights in us so much. He's saying, don't confine yourself to that. I have so much more for you. I delight in you. I love you. You don't have to live this way. I want you to come to joy. I want you to come to restoration. I want you to come to transparency in your life and freedom. And not always just sneaking around, making sure that nobody knows about that deep, dark, secret thing that you're struggling with. So you put on a nice little act. I did that for many years. put on this nice little act. I'm this good guy. I'm doing all the right things. God has so much more for us. He wants to deliver us. He wants us to know how much He delights in us. And He wants us to experience what David did when David came to the realization of that God desired truth in his inner parts, as he says in Psalm 51. And God desires truth in all deep down within us. He longs for that truth to be in us and pouring out with joy, restoration, and healing. David also says in Psalm 19:12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sins." You know, the interesting thing about those little secret things, they keep building up within you, and you find yourself committing other sins that you never thought you'd do if you just allow those to stay hidden, because that's what happened to David. He did. It took him to murder. I mean, who would have thought the godly king, a man after God's own heart, would find himself murdering, adultery? And then God brought truth to his inward parts through the prophet Nathan, who simply told him God's truth, and thou art the man. And God's truth will do that to us. It'll point right deep down within us if we allow his word to completely overpower the stronghold within us. Cleanse thou me from secret sins. And then verse 13, he says, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, because they will take dominion over you. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." And a number of times, if you read through Psalms, David expressed freely about the large place. He says, "Lord, take me to a large place." And so when he experienced deliverance in Psalm 51, God took him to the large place. He was delivered from guilt, misery, and sin. He talks about being restored in Psalm 51. He talks about being once again full of joy, and how God, flowing through his life, can help others be converted to God. And he experienced once again a clean heart. You don't have to live with that dark little secret heart full of shame. We don't have to live that way. God has a large room waiting for us. If we would just simply do as First John 1:9 says, "Confess your sins and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin." And confess your faults one to another. Don't be too proud to confess. You know, you don't have to go in front of the whole church. He says, confess your faults one to another. Find somebody that you can talk with if you don't have the courage to stand in front of the whole church. And you don't have to go into all the graphics. You can just simply say the sin that you're struggling with and confess it, and Allah, and have those godly people around you to pray over you and feel the cleansing power and the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. And that's the beauty of that. Not only when you confess, they put their hands on you and pray over you, and you can feel the cleansing power of Christ coming through your being. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That is a spacious room. don't live your life out. And I told God, as I was saying, Lord, I do not want to live my life out in a little closet. I want to experience a spacious room today with you. Those who walk in truth will walk in liberty. I'm going to end once again with Robert Frost. His words, I want those to echo in your heart and my heart today. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Thank you.